So welcome everyone to this episode of the Reconnection podcast. So it's a podcast to inspire you and to give you, to offer you guys some authentic conversations on the topic of reconnecting with oneself. So I really hope that you enjoy this episode. It's the first one we do in English, so I'm really happy. I'm with Martin. I'm in Germany, where I visited a friend, and I'm gonna give more details about how this whole thing happened. But for now, we're just gonna have a moment to meditate together so that Martin and I can connect and be present for this moment, and also so that you guys can connect to yourselves and also enjoy even more the next conversation. So before starting, I just want to make sure that you find a comfortable place where you will not be disturbed, and find a seat, a comfortable position. You can be on the floor, you can be on a chair, on a cushion. You can lie down as well if you're more comfortable with that position. So the main thing is that you have to be comfortable, but try not to fall asleep. So find your own way.
So just in order for everybody to understand that I'm not sleeping, hi, this is Martin.
Yeah, thank you, Martin.
So thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
For inviting me to this interview. To this talk, actually. It's not an interview, is it?
It's a conversation.
It's a conversation.
Yeah.
Good. So thank you.
Thank you for being here. Okay, so now that you've found your seat, your comfortable position, you know, you can change a little bit at any time if you feel like there is too much pain, but the aim is to try and stay still for the 10 minutes that we're going to have together for meditation right now. So just start by closing your eyes and going to tune in, to turn inwards. And the first way of turning inwards is that we're going to take contact with the floor, with the chair. Just feel, maybe adjust your position, and when you're comfortable, just feel the points of contact between your body and the seat. So probably the feet, probably your bottom, maybe your thighs, legs. And you can just really rest into the floor, sink in into the seat, and let your body find a real connection and a real weight going down in the direction of the earth. So that you can really feel the support of whatever you're sitting on. And the support, more broadly, the support of the earth that is always carrying you with a lot of benevolence, with a lot of wisdom and kindness. And we just start with that appreciation, that contact, that weight. And now we're going to move into our breath. So we place our attention in the breath coming in when we inhale, and coming out when we exhale. You can feel it in the nose, in the nostrils, that absorb and release. You can feel it in the belly that rises and falls, in the lungs that expand and contract. Maybe you can find the place where it's more noticeable, more visible for you, so that you can comfortably observe your breath coming in and out. In and out. And you don't have to control the way your breath is coming and going. It doesn't need to be anything else than how it is right now. Maybe it's deep, maybe it's shallow, maybe it's slow or quick. But it really doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is that you try and put your attention on each breath when it's happening. Just following the air. And then, probably at some point, some thoughts will come to your mind and distract you from the practice. And it's okay, you just notice it and then you come back to your breath every time it happens. You can start also noticing the sounds in the room or in your body, also outside the room, but without trying to understand where they come from or why they're there. Just noticing their presence and how they come to your ears, how you receive them. Then we're going to tune in to sensations in the body. I'm going to start from our feet, that may be on the ground or in front of us, on a seat, on a bed. And we just tune into a sensation under the feet and then in the whole feet. Little tinglings maybe. And we're going to go up the body progressively, but in each part we just try to feel sensation. It can be very small, it can be very strong, and it doesn't matter. Just observe the sensation that's present in the moment when you go through the part of the body that I name. And so from the feet we go up to our ankles. Feel sensation, and then we go up progressively and feel all legs, all the surface of our legs, starting from the calves and going up to the knees, feeling our thighs, hamstrings, observing the sensations there, then being present to what's happening also in the hips, back, low back, I mean. And you can start to travel from the low back progressively up the spine and allow the sensations to be there, even the uncomfortable ones. Going up, you can come to the shoulders, the neck, the back of the neck, and then you can feel your arms, beautiful arms, forearms, your wrists and hands, all the sensations there. You can really connect to all the capacity of your body, your arms that can carry things, can hug, your hands that can create so much, you can write, shake hands, build, open the door. Connect to that power of yours, to this marvelous body. Then you can come to your sensations in the chest, in the heart area, and observe the heartbeat, tune into that beat, always working to make you alive, without interruption, without resting. And recognizing that miracle of the heart. Going down to the belly area where all the digestive organs and system are, and just observing the sensations there, maybe the digestion going on, tension maybe, being grateful for all this organism, all the work, the intelligence inside. Then moving up again, we come to our throat, where our voice and creativity can express, our throat and the sensations in the throat. How is my throat feeling right now? And coming up to the face, you observe sensations there as well, in my jaw, in my eyes, the skin around the ears, my forehead, my scalp, all the surface of my head and my skull. Just being present to all those sensations that may be very subtle or very intense for some of them. Now I can take a big breath just to acknowledge that I am fully present, my body is fully there with all the sensations that are bubbling at every moment. And I can just connect to that global sensations of my body. Just the sensation of being present here and now, while I'm still breathing, observing that breath, observing my presence here, observing the sounds inside, outside, observing the thoughts that come and go. Now I'm going to start to prepare for the end of this meditation, and for that I'm just going to move a little bit my fingers and my toes very smoothly, and maybe stretch a little bit my neck and when I'm feeling ready, I can slowly, gently open my eyes and come back to the external reality. Thank you for trusting my voice and following this little exercise with us. For me, it's a really important part of the podcast to give you guys an opportunity to practice, not just to talk about reconnection, but to actually make you experience a little bit of that reconnection. So now I'm really happy to introduce you to Martin.
Hi.
So it's really funny because I've just met Martin. I mean, I met Martin yesterday, and it was a very beautiful moment because we got to speak, to talk. Actually, like, we're talking like right now for quite a long time. And then the conclusion, one of the conclusions was maybe we could do an episode of the podcast together, and maybe we could also share music and just share a little bit of more time together, and with Malai, the friend I came to visit here in Germany. So I'm really blessed. I'm feeling blessed and grateful for us to be here right now. And yeah, thank you for being here.
Nice, thank you. Yeah, that was a nice idea yesterday, and I was very excited.
Yeah.
That it really happens.
Yeah.
I am excited.
It's kind of a miracle, like how some things unfold so naturally, and I'm feeling really, really happy with that. So Martin, I really love the format that we have, because then we start in a very calm and like restful place, and what I also like is that we don't start in a very calm and like restful place, and what I also like is that we don't have so many guidelines. I mean, I didn't create so many guidelines. I just have one question that I'm starting from. And the question is, if you want to share a little bit about a story, an experience, or a practice that has helped you to reconnect to yourself in the past or in the present, something that's right now really coming as something important to you.
Oh, well, actually, it's not really new as of right now. It's newly happening. But it's similar to what we just did, forms of meditation, actually. I do some slightly different techniques, technically spoken, when I prepare for body energy work that I do. I learned that in the recent 5-6 years, I believe. Must be 6 years already, yeah. There's some techniques that I do just to prepare myself to be able to do energy work for myself or for others. And so therefore it's important to be connected actually with yourself. And another thing that is very, very important, that's a little bit different to the techniques we just did, is to consciously get rid of strange energies that don't belong to me and that don't belong to what I'm doing, and to really consciously decide about the space that I'm in and about the energies that are present there. And so my technique would be, it's what I learned, would be to first cut off, clean off visually, visualization, to cut off strange energies without looking at the strange. Just saying, okay, I'm cleaning myself. So what I do there is like I'm visualizing actually like something like a light going all over my body, in a very physical way. I'm really doing that. And since I cut off all kinds of energies that way, I reconnect to the cosmic energies, which is the Earth. Gaia, Mother Earth, however we refer to it, which we are, and the cosmos, the energies of the cosmos.
Okay, and when did you start to discover that technique or those different techniques that help you to reconnect to that type of energy, to that source, to that universal field, I don't know how to call it, but that what is nourishing you? What was the first trigger, like, or how did it happen for you? If you want to talk about it.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about these things. I can't really say that there was one initial moment that things started. And if I try to refer to my life right now, I would say I'm remembering, like I said yesterday in our talk, in the sense of putting back together what was together before, which is the core of your podcast as well, reconnection.
Yeah.
And so I can't really say there was one moment that it all started, and although the way I look at things, the way I look at my life, I have this notion or this idea that we are spiritual beings, light beings, energetic beings, that decided to incarnate in this life, in this dual world that we're in. And so there is some initiation happening at that point, which is actually a disconnection. It's really funny, because before we are just beings, we are just, you know, there's no good or bad, there's no light or dark, there's, you know, we just are. But in order to go through experience and to understand things and to have feelings, we need to be in this dual world. That's the way I look at it. And so, as these spiritual beings, we might have decided to incarnate, and maybe we're screening lovers and we're saying like, oh, I could choose these parents. Maybe it's that. You know, I'm not so sure, of course,
yeah.
Because I'm very strongly in this realm, and so these are ideas. It's
beliefs,
almost like philosophical notions, what might be. I'm not sure about these things.
Yeah, I mean, the important thing is that if it helps you in any way, believing that, that's good. I mean, if it's positive for you, that's the most important thing. It's when it starts to become,
like a dogma.
When it starts to become a dogma or something that's being violent to you, that it can be questioned. That's just my opinion.
I strongly relate to that opinion. As an adolescent and young adult, I was very strongly deciding on thoughts and ideas in a way that I would say, I'm not that, I'm not part of this. So this was a matter of disconnecting, actually. If I now have these notions that I mentioned, it's something to satisfy my ratio, my thoughts, it's me, it's my head trying to interpret things.
I can relate.
So, you know, to ease my mind in a way.
I can really relate to that, because I have a very, I would say, potent and strong intellect that needs some food. So maybe it's...
Desire to understand.
And for example, for me, I found that over the last few years, for example, I have not been consuming a lot of external material. Like, I've not read so many books or seen so many movies, because I felt like every answer was inside. I was convinced by that. But still, going through a spiritual journey has made me meet some people and be in some environments where some beliefs and some ideas came to me, and then I started to absorb them and to be interested, like, oh, it can actually feed, I mean, not consciously, but I was actually feeding my intellect that was starving because I was not consuming books or as I used to when I was a child and adolescent. I was reading and I was consuming a lot of external information. And so it's really interesting to tap into that awareness.
It's really funny that you're talking about hearing other people's ideas as something that is not external. Yeah, because you refer to books as external, but you're saying, you know, not. It probably wasn't really where you were trying to head to, but it makes a lot of sense to me, because through books we have this filter of letters and languages and stuff, words, technical stuff, and then we get a glimpse of an idea that someone wrote down, if we talk to someone, it's more direct, and there's not only the words that do something, which is always a different interpretation in your head than in mine, usually.
Yeah.
But there's some similarities, but there's also communication through
body language,
energy,
yeah.
Feelings. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's true. I mean, as soon as you're aware of that, as soon as you're sensitive to that energy, but I think everyone is. But at the same time, I think it's interesting, like how you're talking about my belief, like before, that books, like the fact of not reading so many books or not consuming movies. I mean, it's not that I was making it on purpose. I was just not interested anymore because I had the insight that no, it's all inside. But at the same time, as you're saying, meeting other people was not something I wanted to stop, because I was nourished. I'm still nourished by connection, human connection, and so I cannot avoid being in contact with ideas of other people and with things that that I would consider external. But in the end, the question is, at what extent are they external? Because sometimes also we share in the same country, for example, we share a lot of ideas that are like, I feel, and it's like a belief I have maybe, but are in the air, and like you can feel an atmosphere.
Definitely.
When you enter a country, and I really found it incredible when I traveled to Colombia, for example, but to any country really, but the difference between France and Colombia is such a big one that I could feel almost physically and energetically that I was not in the same space into myself, that I had another type of freedom or another type of thinking. And I mean, it also shows in the language, like when I use a certain language or another,
yeah,
I'm developing different parts of me and showing different possibilities in my ways of thinking and of feeling.
You know, what you just said, I would interpret that as you having the illusion of being someone else in a different country. Which would show that you are not complete in one country, and you go to another country, you get another aspect of you.
It's like a relationship. It's like a,
you get another,
it's like the
puzzle
relationship
piece or something. Yeah, yeah. And because you know, I've had this experience of like being in different countries as well, very early. And I could break it down to even having a father and a mother is already giving you these different aspects, and you have that in yourself as well. You have this male and this female part. You have a dualistic world. You have these poles. That within those you within the tension between those poles you experience yourself. And I mean, obviously, if you look at someone else, to my understanding, it's such that I merely see myself if I look at you. Yeah, you're mirroring me. Why? Because I can only see what my heart and my mind is open for. So I will see something that I react to. And if I point with my finger at someone else and saying like, you are like this, and I'm really saying I am like that. This is something I realize now as I see it in you. Yeah? So if you go to Colombia, you will see a different aspect of you. It's still you.
Yeah.
Yeah? That shows what I started to say in the beginning. It's like we are whole to begin with, but then we decide to incarnate here, and so we live in this illusion of being separated. And all these techniques of like the philosophy, the awareness, the meditation techniques, are ways of trying to remember that we are connected with everything. So saying that means there's not such a big difference between the Colombian culture and the French culture. There's a lot more similar or connected.
Yeah.
It's just superficial, the differences.
Yeah.
It's really just superficial. But we forget that, and we're trained to forget it.
Yeah.
You're part of this family, you're part of this group, you're part of this nation, you're part of this race, you're part of something. You're a part of, which is already a separation.
Yeah, and you feel, when you feel just part of something, like something narrow, something closed, then you feel small. And it's fine. I mean, we're both the wave and the ocean. Like, we are also in a body, and we have some limits. But I feel like it's too bad to only feel that
smallness
and feel trapped into that smallness, and then develop some anger and some fear from that separation. Whereas when you start experiencing, as you said, this wholeness and this greatness that we also have inside, then you can maybe embrace the smallness with a smile, and at the same time know that deep inside, like, there are more possibilities than we can see with our eyes. Like, I don't know if I'm being clear, but it's like this feeling that sometimes I get also from that awareness. I get so many insights, and at the same time I get some frustration that such a small number of people enjoy that double thing, like small and great, like limited and unlimited,
yeah.
You know?
Well, we have a situation, this is a big I know. We have this huge situation of like a few wanting to control. Which is not the picture, but it's like there's always some people that have a feeling of, or some beings that have a feeling of not being complete, not being in their energy, and therefore trying to fill some void by trying to control other people and gain energy from other people, for example. Yeah.
There are many ways, yeah.
So that would be an explanation for how it is that we are trained so much to feel small, to not be in our own strength, and because we've through our lives we've met a lot of people or a lot of energies that try to like gain importance by diminishing others, or gain energy by diminishing others, and it's natural, it's understandable. If I make my neighbor smaller, I have the illusion of being bigger.
Yeah.
But it's a complete illusion.
Mm.
And now the problem for me was to become a bit more real in my life. You know, the problem for me was to get out of that feeling of not being good enough, not being big, not being even there. You know, I felt small. Yeah. And it's not the humbleness of understanding that I'm just a small part of a whole big thing, that I'm, that is all me as well. But it's an unhealthy, I would call it an unhealthy sensation of being small. Yeah. And to move myself out of that, I had to learn a lot. I had to confront myself with traumas, and even with traumas that were not even not just my traumas, but even traumas of my ancestors, of my parents. Maybe even, I'm not so sure about that, maybe even of my of the ones that come after me. Yeah, because I'm not so sure about time being linear.
That's so interesting. Like, I have the same idea that I don't think that time is linear. And I mean, there are some theories about it,
yeah.
I think, but I've not explored them. It's just like gut feeling. Also, because I get so many dreams, and sometimes I write down my dreams, and then I experience what I wrote down.
Yeah.
Later on. And
yeah.
An interpretation can be, oh, maybe because I thought about it, then it happened. Or another one is just, maybe I just believe that this time frame is past, present, future, but maybe it doesn't make any sense in the end, and everything is connected, and I don't know. I think there is a direction that's going this way, but maybe it's going like you cannot see because you cannot hear how the gestures I'm doing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's going like in every direction. It's going like spiral. It's going round and I don't know. Maybe it's just a belief, but for me, it helps me because it makes me relax when I don't understand the complexity of my mind and of my what happens in my life. Sometimes it's very surprising and very uncomfortable, and I'm like, okay, maybe I just cannot really get it because it's so mysterious, you know? And I just tune into that mystery, and I just surrender to that mystery, and I'm just like, I cannot control it, and I'm just part of that complete mess that I don't understand, that makes sense somehow, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, now yet again on that issue, my mind has tried to find explanations. And one of these interpretations, or these possible models, would be that we are capable of sensing the dimensions of space, which would be three dimensions plus time, as a linear thing. And I've heard these ideas of there being much more, many more dimensions, like up to 12 or even more. There's different ideas on that, and just to imagine yet another dimension is hardly possible, as we are kind of stuck in this limitation. The only way I could get a glimpse of that is by trying to develop my consciousness and reconnect in a way to something I already knew. And I when we talked yesterday, I was referring to our hearts knowing. So that's a belief that is very sympathetic to me, that there is that we have this core organ that is able to connect to something outside of our limitations. Also, I like these ideas of people like Rupert Sheldrake. I don't know if you heard that name. He was saying things like, maybe consciousness is not really limited. I believe it was Rupert Sheldrake, I'm not quite sure. But maybe the consciousness is not really limited to the inner side of the skull, you know? It's like to imagine that all these things that we can see, think, feel, and whatever, imagine, happen only within the bone of our head.
is
a bit weird. I'd rather have this idea of like having an organ that is just having antennas and is connected to the morphic field, to knowledge that is out there. And that is close to, you know, being connected with all that is.
I guess the brain is kind of useful for us to make, like, to see very clear differences. Like when we make experiments with the brain, it seems like it's very, it responds very openly to our experiences. But I'm convinced that the awareness is everywhere in the body. Like
yeah.
we are, yeah, you have antennas everywhere. There is a practice. I already talked about that with in another interview, in another conversation. There's a practice, a meditation practice that's called Vipassana, and that really uses consciousness to go throughout the body and to discover some truths through experiencing sensation, bodily sensation first, and then
yeah.
it starts to unfold. I mean, everyone's experience is different, but what I found really powerful was to feel that actual understanding cannot be made only by the brain. But actual understanding is really into this subtle awareness that you don't feel like you're putting your mind, you feel like on your body, like sensations. At some point when you meditate for 10 hours a day for 10 days, at some point you feel like your body, you don't know where it's coming from. Your body is focusing. Like you don't know it. So maybe when I'm focusing on this finger, this little finger, maybe it's my finger that's focusing. Is it my mind focusing on my finger? It's my finger focusing or being there, expressing something. And at some point it starts to become more like blurry, and at the same time it's funny, like you don't care anymore about knowing with your head, because it's just happening, something is happening. And I'm not really sure where I'm going with that, but I think it's just that this humbling feeling that the body, every part has a purpose, and every part is connected with another part, which is connected with another part, which is connected with another part. And in that sense, it's kind of mirroring the whole universe and every organism.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean, it sounds like a normal truth, like everyone knows, like the body is an organism, but in a deeper sense, it's not hierarchical. We made a hierarchy, I think. I don't know what you think about that. In our society, about like the brain is more important, so you have to work on
yeah.
intellectual things more than practical.
Yeah, it's
example.
A perfect example, you know, to refer to the body. That's yet again Rupert Sheldrake. Now this is interesting. I brought up this name, and his ideas that he was talking about are now here, you know. Because
mm-hmm.
he has been
called.
One of the things, yeah, yeah, it's interesting.
I don't know him, so
one,
I'm just
yeah,
saying
really
to
funny, yeah.
people listening.
One of the things he was saying is like, he was looking at humans and saying like, well, now we have this body that consists out of 50 trillion cells that organize. It's a system that organizes itself. And this system believes to have a consciousness. Yeah?
Yeah.
That's us.
Yeah.
And then he was saying, it's a very close or small step to the idea or to the notion that this self-organizing system, Earth, with all these even far more pieces of something, I don't know, cells, materials, I don't know, has a consciousness.
Yeah.
And he was saying that about the sun as well. Yeah? So if we don't go that far a step, we could say like, well, as a humankind, we have now about 7.5 billion people on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's an organism.
Yeah.
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 And it has a consciousness.
Yeah.
And, you know, we know about these phenomena of ideas popping up at the same time in different places in the world, and people all of a sudden invent the same thing, you know,
and
although
then,
they never talk to each other.
And then who is going to be quicker to put the, you know, the label that they created it and that they can receive the payment for the rights, you know?
Yeah, but there, what all it shows, all that's a great piece, because what that shows is it's an illusion that someone invented it.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
This one individual just related to related to a knowledge that is there. That's what Rupert Sheldrake talks about when he talks about morphic fields.
Yeah, which doesn't mean that they don't deserve receiving money for,
no, it's okay.
For what happened.
No, everybody.
But just being aware that, I mean, I think about every time I create something, a poem or a song, it's like, oh, something came and then I received it. And then I sing it because, okay, it's there and I don't know what to do with it. So I sing it, or I just write it. And sometimes people ask me, like, oh, but how do you create your songs? And I feel a bit, almost a little bit like, oh, but I don't really create them from scratch. I mean, they come and I say, okay, welcome. And it happens during improvisation, and it happens when I'm walking.
You know, maybe that song exists somewhere in the so-called future, and it says like, Aurélie, can you now please finally do it? I want to be there.
Yeah, no,
you know?
Maybe
so the song itself is going back in time, is meeting you and saying like, okay, she has the potential to remember me with the real existence.
Yeah, it's funny.
So,
it's actually the one that formalized this. I mean, I think many people may have formalized this, but there is one a writer who's called Elizabeth Gilbert.
Uh-huh.
Do you know about her?
No. But funny that her last name is Gilbert.
Is your name.
It's the same like
okay,
mine.
It's crazy.
Except one letter.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So it's funny. Well, she's a writer, and in one of her books called The Creative... How is it called again? I will find it again. Anyway, and she's talking about creativity, and she's talking about that exactly, that the ideas are for her, in her mind, in her way of viewing things, the ideas are like bubbles in the air, and that they come and they say hello, and then you can say, okay, I accept you, and I take the time for you to bloom.
I even see you, I even recognize you're there.
And
yeah,
I say,
that's a step already.
Yeah, and I say yes, and I say, okay, I'm going to treat you right. So if it's an idea for her, it's like an idea for a book, and she's like, okay, I'm going to take the time to write the book, you know?
Yeah.
And she tells, it's really interesting, how once she had an idea, and she didn't really take the time for it, so at some point she just let it go. And what happened is that a few months or years later, she reads a book from not a friend, but like someone she knows that's not the other way, how do you say, the other around the globe, like the
okay,
other,
on the other side
on
the of
other
the planet.
Side of the planet.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
And she reads and she's like, oh, but that's exactly the idea I had. And she is so proud of her friend, and at the same time she's like, oh, that's because I let the idea down. I let it go away because I didn't take care of it. So it just went to another person. And
nice.
I think it's so nice that she uses that way, because it's not like it's mine, it's just that it is there and I have the awareness and possibility to take it if I can or if I want to, and I can also leave it. And someone else will take care of it at some point, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's very interesting. This relates very much to the idea of open source.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this whole idea of this is mine, and I have to hold on tight to this possession, which is a very materialistic idea, which is it's a contradiction in itself, because we are not material, we are energy. Yeah? So if you hold on tight to material, you have a problem in the end. But still, Why is that? Why do people do that? Well, because we have this way of living together that gives the idea that you have to fight for your rights.
Yeah.
You have
Yeah.
to
And that there is not
do
enough.
something to, and there's not enough.
There is
exactly.
a lack.
Which is just the opposite of what nature does.
Yeah.
Nature does just the opposite. It says like there's abundance of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah? I mean, we just went to the grape, the vine.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
And it's one plant.
Yeah.
It's one plant, but it's 10 meters and 3 meters high, and it's full of grapes.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, what for? For reproduction?
For the sake of it. Yeah.
No. So we can stand there and say like, wow, that's beautiful. It tastes great.
You know? Yeah.
It's
yeah.
abundance. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I think we're going to slowly conclude on that, but because I think it's been more than an hour right
already,
now.
Already, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I could go on for hours.
Yeah,
really.
Me too. Only, yeah, so, yeah, just concluding on that, I think there is something with the fact that we sometimes get into that illusion that we don't have enough and that we have a cake that we have to share, and so we have to have that our share. And this that in that way we're starting again that separation, we reinforce that separation. So yeah, I think there's a lot of healing needed right now in the world, and so happy that I'm meeting so many like people who are aware of that and who are working to bring more healing into their lives first, and to...
I was about to say that just 2 or 3 hours ago. I don't know. Because I was trying to say something about what is now necessary, how do I reconnect, and, you know, this... I was referring to traumas in my own life, but most probably in lives before. It's that healing, and the idea that if I do healing now, it's not just me doing it with or for myself, but it's working in all directions. That's really a good feeling.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I for myself, it's okay, I'm fine, I'm okay, you know.
Yeah.
But if I know it's for the bigger picture, for the well-being of others, then I have a far higher motivation to do things.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
It's like combining the desire to take care of yourself and the desire to contribute to the world, and knowing that both are intertwined in every moment. It's just such a reassuring thought. I mean, for me, especially having had a chronic disease, I mean, something chronic pain and some things that are like difficult individually, but that have somehow impacted some of my relationships. Sometimes I find like, no, but I'm doing it for myself, but I'm doing it for everything that's surrounding me, and it's been sometimes a struggle to let go of that idea that you are either egoistic, like selfish, either you're an altruist, do you say that? You're like...
Then an altruist.
Altruist
yeah.
Attitude. I think there is no such thing as one or the other. And that the consciousness, it's the same as when I was saying there is a small and the big, like the smaller me and the vast me. It's the same thing as that I'm working individually because I have a body and I have limitations because I'm into a material world, but also I'm working with energy, and energy is everywhere, and I'm working with a more vast and infinite field, so I can trust also that process of connection that is happening all the time, even when I'm not knowing, even when I'm sleeping, I'm connecting with others, and with objects and with things and with people. So actually, yeah, I think I'm saying just it's reassuring for me because I can relax that whatever I'm doing, it has some meaning and it has some purpose and it can help others.
Yeah. In that sense, I really want to express my thankfulness towards you for having healed yourself.
As
you did that. Yeah, well,
I'm still
because had you not done that, we could have not been doing this.
Yeah.
So everybody has been going their ways I don't want to do that finalizing.
Yeah, but anyway, it will always be too narrow, you know, a conversation of 1 hour is too short to also to encompass how much we can share as human beings.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Even words are not enough, but I just want to acknowledge that this moment was really, really magical and beautiful for me, and I want to thank you for hosting us in your space, because...
Thank you, yes.
Yeah,
my pleasure.
It's a pleasure and inspiration. I feel home here.
Great.
And that's
really
nice.
Yeah. Well, I've been learning a lot, and since I like to learn, it's a lot of fun to have you here. Yeah, of course, it's joy. It's not fun. It's really a big joy to be with you.
Yeah, just thinking that. Yeah, really appreciate that time. So I hope we'll have another talk soon. I mean, I'm sure that after this recording, we'll continue talking and and connecting. So. Yeah, I just want to thank our listeners who trust me and who trust our flow in our conversations that are just, yes, coming and going naturally. And I hope that you like this episode. And if you really enjoyed it, you can share it around you. You can also, I think, put some little stars to rate it and make it a bit more available to more people. So that we can be more and more numerous to reconnect with ourselves. See you in the next one. Bye.
Bye bye.
Yeah. And if you want to support my work with this podcast and support the next episodes that they flow to you guys, you can become a patron on Patreon. There is a link in the description box of the episode, and then you can go to that link and become a patron so you can support financially, and also you will have some exclusive content coming to you guys if you become a patron, especially meditations, guided meditations. In November I will create some meditations that will make a whole month's of daily meditations. So yeah, if you want to benefit from that, you can click that link and choose whatever amount you want to give, you want to pay for that support you want to give. Yeah, so happy that every day I wake up doing what I love and contributing to a better world, in sharing my truth and sharing some authentic conversations. So yeah, if you want to help me keeping doing that, it's really, really helpful. And yeah, have the best day, and we'll speak to you later in another episode.